Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God. And of course, that's what we're supposed to be seeking, is the Kingdom of God and His righteousness. And a lot of people don't have much of a clue as to what His righteousness looks like. That was a big, important term that was repeated over and over again in the Bible, in the instructions of Jesus Christ, of the prophets. You go back to the days of Abraham and Moses. So all the Jews should be very interested in whatever this thing called righteousness is and what it looks like. And of course, we have lots of hints as to what righteousness looks like. You know, if you look the word up in the Hebrew, tzedek or tzedek is the word that we see translated about 162 times as righteousness. It also is defined as just or lawful. And of course, Jesus referred to the weightier matters as law, judgment, mercy, and faith, which is how you get to just and lawful and righteous. I mean, without mercy, there is no justice. I've always been kind of fascinated by the symbol of justice, holding up the scales of justice. And then she's blindfolded. So what does that mean? Why is she blindfolded? How does she know when the scales are actually balanced that you can have justice? Is she blindfolded so she shows no mercy? Is she blindfolded so that she doesn't bring in her personal prejudices? Why is the blindfold there? Because I've been in courtrooms since I was a small boy, and I don't see a lot of justice in the courtrooms. And the reason why, I've realized now that I've grown up and I'm no longer a small boy, put away the things of a child, and realize the reason there's not justice is because there's not justice in the hearts of the people. The people are not just. They don't seek justice. They don't strive for justice. They don't even know that Christ said law, judgment, mercy, and faith were the weightier matters. They don't even know that, and they go to church. Just heard people talking on the news about the fact that you should invite somebody to your church. No, you should invite somebody to His church, Christ's church. Because mostly what I see out there, the churches are a shadow of what Christ taught. They have some of the words of Christ, but they're not doing what Christ said. They're not doing what the early church did. As a matter of fact, they're doing the exact opposite. And they are in the business of making people feel good about not doing what Christ said. That's why you have this huge so-called Christian movement that you only are saved by faith. And then they define faith as what you think about God. They define religion as what you think about God. And of course, what you think about God is based on the tree of knowledge. What you've studied about God. What you've heard. What you've accepted about God. So, your churches are constructed by sawing up the tree of knowledge and making a church. A building, a structure, an institution. And the purpose of that institution is to make you feel good about who you are. Oh, some people actually, because they're a little sadomasochists, they like to be accused, and I know of some people who they're always looking for more drama, the drama queens. which are including men. I don't want to be chauvinist about this. But woe is me. My child is this. My son is that. My husband is doing this. I mean, people go back, women go back to a man who's beating them and brutalizing them and brutalizing their children. They go back to him time and time again. They defend him. They protect him. They're sadomasochists. They like to be punished. They're addicted to it. How did they get so addicted to it? Because their minds are full of shadows. Their religion is a shadow religion. Their ideas about life are shadow ideas. The shadow knows. You know, we talked to a number of people on the network who actually think that, you know, most people's, well, they, you know, I don't want to speak for them, but they had several people that were thinking that devils and demons don't really exist as most people think they do. Well, they probably don't exist as most people think they do, because such a statement would require that I would know what most people think. And most people don't even think, so how do I know what they think? Because they don't even think at all. But the reality is there is evil in existence. Of course, evil is just the absence of the truth. It's the absence of light. It's darkness. It's the lack of that truth causes confusion, because it doesn't have all the pieces of the puzzle. You can't put the puzzle together. They don't fit. Some of them are flipped over. Some of them are from another puzzle. Anyway, they just don't fit. In reality, it gets messy, and we call it chaos. And that chaos that we're dealing with becomes our reality. And we don't know any better. We don't understand what the truth is anymore. And the reason why is because we don't want to see the truth as it really is. That we don't want to know the truth. Lou Rockwell once said, what we need is a comprehensive ideology of liberty to displace the comprehensive ideology of statism with no compromises. Well, with no compromises sounds like statism. Well, I don't know. Maybe not no compromises. It depends on how you mean compromises. See, that's the thing when you make a statement. And you use all these different words. We have to go in and define each word. And what are we going to use to define those words? More words, which may need some defining as well. To replace the ideology of statism. What is ideology? It's, you know, in, if we go to the Greek, idea, and ology, the study of ideas. The study of the idea of liberty, replaced with the study that we already have of the idea of statism. We think statism is good. Statism is when you give some power to some men to make decisions for you that you used to have the right to decide for yourselves, but now you've given it to somebody else. And why did you do that? You must have had some sense of benefit to give away a right to decide. Maybe you didn't want to decide, and so you didn't mind if somebody else decided for you, and you hoped that somehow or other you would benefit from that. The problem is most people are raised up in a society today that they didn't decide to create. It was just passed down to them. And along with lots of other information was put into their heads when they went to public school. I can't think of anything more harmful than sending your children to public education. Because there's something that goes along with that. There's a spirit. You see, you've already stepped over a line when you say it's okay to force my neighbor to pay for my child's education because my neighbor forces me to pay for education for their child. And the fact is, nobody's paying for the education. It's all done by debt. It's all created. All that education is created by debt because all the governments are bankrupt in every country. They're all operating in the red. They're not operating in the black. And why are they bankrupt? Because you're bankrupt. Because you didn't keep the Sabbath. Now you think keeping the Sabbath is, you know, taking Saturday off. Or some other day. You know, the Sabbath. Whatever. And then you got a half a dozen different ways of calculating when the Sabbath is. Some people count to seven. Some people look at the moon. Some people, you know, look at the moon and the stars and the sun. And I mean, they have all kinds of different ways of calculating the Sabbath. The Sabbath's not a day. It's not about the day. That's idolatry, to worship a day. The Sabbath is about working first and then taking time off. But you didn't work to earn the money to pay for your child's education. You asked men who exercise authority to take from your neighbor, even from the future neighbors, in order to pay for the education you want today. Everybody who sends their child to public education is not a Sabbath keeper. Unless they send a check to cover the entire cost of their child's education to the government before they send their child to school. Otherwise, they're not Sabbath keepers. That simple. Your house, your car, you borrowed against the future. Now, I'm not saying that it's, sometimes you may have to do that to survive. I knew somebody who worked hard. He was a horseshoer. He worked hard when he went out and did his horseshoeing, but he didn't go out every day. But he thought, well, I need to borrow money to have a good, reliable truck to go out and make a living. And the truck cost him $1,500, so he borrowed the $1,500 to get this used truck to go out and make a living to horseshoe. Of course, the only reason he had to borrow the $1,500 to buy the truck is because he already spent $1,500 on his gigantic satellite dish, which he didn't have to get. He didn't have to get that satellite dish, but now he has to get a good, reliable truck because his old truck is breaking down. And so it made sense to borrow the money because you needed it. But you only needed it because you squandered it somewhere else. And that's what you're doing every day because you're not Sabbath keepers. You don't have that idea, paying for what I need when I need it. And not paying for what I don't need so that I have the resources to pay for what I do need. I mean, you do the same thing when you work. If you work yourself into the bone, say you can't even walk anymore, and you know you're going to have 5 miles to walk home, how do you figure on getting home? Well, obviously, you pace yourself. You figure what I'm going to need. You count the cost. What did Christ say? Count the cost. Do you do that? No, you don't. You don't do that, and so therefore you're not Sabbath keepers. Because you don't calculate out that I need to get through this day, to get through this week, I need to do this work first. This is important. But how do you do it? Do you do it by the tree of knowledge? Or do you do it by the tree of life? How do you calculate? We've now got another problem. It's not just math. It's not just accounting. It's accounting according to the Holy Spirit. So how do you know when the Sabbath is? If you're walking in the Holy Spirit, you know you don't need a calendar. You don't need to figure it, because the Holy Spirit will tell you, it will lead you in every moment. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, get out your pencil and paper and go calculate. But know this, it's not about the day, it's about the way I'm living my life. So anyway, we talk about shadow. Churches are a shadow of Christ. We talk about the network, the living network. Everybody should belong to the living network. How do you belong to the living network? You join one of our network email groups. If you're listening on the net and you can get access to the net, you join a local email network group. And then you find people there forming congregations or wanting to. And you form a congregation of record. And you connect yourself through your minister with all the other ministers of the network. And therefore with all the other people of the network. In what in ancient times is called the tens, hundreds, and thousands. In this network. And why do you do that? So that you become not a shadow, but a reality. The body of Christ. What are the moving characteristics of such a network? You have to care. You come to serve. You come, as Christ did, to serve. To care about others as much as you care about yourself. Why do you go to church? Do you go to church so that you can care about others as much as you care about yourself? No, I go to church to feel good. I go to church, you know, to give me a sense of being a follower of Christ or a follower of Moses or a follower of, you know, the Baha'is or whatever church you go to. You don't go to serve your neighbor, to be a blessing to your neighbor, but to get a feeling of self-righteousness, not righteousness. So you're a shadow. And in the shadow, evil lurks. So anyway, I have a number of different articles that came to me this week. And if you want us to talk about particular subjects, join the network and tell us what you want us to talk about next week. One of the articles that came up was a mandatory annual mental health evaluation under Obamacare coming soon. That's what they were talking about in an article. And I looked at the article, but then I did my own research. And I found that there is mandatory annual mental health evaluations, actually, to some degree, going on right now. And if you go to the CDC government website, you can find articles in different symptoms, mental health surveillance amongst children in the United States from 2005 to 2011. This is a CDC article. This is not some conspiracy theorist. They have the names of the PhDs, you know. Ruth Perot, Rebecca Bitsko, Patricia Pastor, PhD. This goes on, naming, you know, Sarah Hayden, all these different people, Susan Visser. And there's some men, too. But there's all these people who are part of producing this mental health surveillance amongst children of the United States. And you start reading the articles and finding out what the article is trying to tell us. And it talks about this report, which complements a 2011 report that focused on CDC surveillance of mental illness amongst adults in the United States, describes ongoing independent federal surveillance systems, each addressing different health issues and varying populations that are used to estimate the prevalence of mental disorders and indicators of mental health amongst children in the United States, and highlights selected national prevalence estimates. Availability of state-based estimates is noted in the surveillance description and table. Surveillance data from multiple federal agencies, including the CDC, Health Resources, Services Administration, and Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administrations, are included. So how many times did we read the word surveillance there? And we haven't even got through the first paragraph. Surveillance, 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 surveillance. They're watching you. And they do want a mandatory mental health exam, and it's actually already being put into place because of the way in which They want you to diagnose the physical health of people. I mean, you go into a doctor's office and you can actually find on some doctor's offices questionnaires asking, you know, they used to ask, you know, are you allergic to any medicines, et cetera, et cetera. Now they ask, do you own any guns in your home? Do you have any guns in your home? What does that have to do with your health? They want to know that. You think that's a part of the mental health surveillance in the United States? Yes. You know, we did a show and we talked about, you know, in the medical diagnostic manual, which comes out on a regular basis, put together by a number of doctors who aren't even working in the field. They're just bureaucratic doctors. They couldn't actually probably make it in the regular field. Used to be they would pull some of the best doctors out and create this. And one of the chief critics of the modern, present-day medical diagnostic manual is the former doctor, I mean the former author and head of the committee that created the manual. Because he says, with these new criteria being put down by doctors who are not actually out in the diagnostic field, you know, where you actually deal with patients, you know, that he talks about them kind of being constructing this manual in glass houses where they don't even know what ramifications their conclusions are going to have out in the real world because they aren't actually functioning out in the real world. They're bureaucratic doctors. That hundreds of thousands of Americans under the new manual will be classified as mentally ill. If you're creating a health system where you compel your neighbor to pay for your health welfare, the very essence of the spirit drawn to such a system is one of force, which means they are going to compel you to take drugs. You will be forced to take drugs because something's wrong with you mentally. Our surveillance has proven that something's wrong with you. You've got ODD. You know, kind of obsessive defiance disorder. It actually doesn't stand for obsessive, but they actually have that. And you will need to take medication or go to jail. That's the kind of options that you're going to have. And it's inevitable. It's not a matter of a conspiracy theory. It's because of the nature of the system you have created. Create a system of power. Men who seek power will seek office. And that's what you've got. So what's the solution? We'll talk about the solution when we come back. The shadow knows what the solution is. We'll be right back to Keys of the Kingdom. Okay, so we're back to Keys of the Kingdom, and we're talking about surveillance of mental disorders amongst children. Actually, we're also talking about surveillance of mental disorders in adults, because they're tracking the adults too. And they mention right in this CDC document things like oppositional defiance disorder, or ODD, and they link it right along with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and how they are linked along with autism spectrum disorder, and on and on and on and on. And they've got all these lists and everything that they go on. They talk about public health surveillance involves systemic and ongoing collection of data followed by the interpretation and dissemination of the data to encourage public health action. This is not coming. This is ongoing. And they have a whole big long list in the article as to the different sources of source data and how they're already collecting this, already compiling it. already connecting it, one with each other. You know, I saw an interesting story. Somebody had sent me a DVD about a fellow by the name of Aaron Schwartz, and he was back doing a lot of work in the original RSS ability of the internet to, you know, download and disseminate different kinds of recorded information, etc. And he was writing the program along with a bunch of other people, but they were all doing it over the internet because he'd gotten into the internet very early, and he learned how it worked, and he saw how to program things, and he was just fascinated with it. And so he got in with this group, and his programming skills, his ideas about programming, how to organize the programming and advance it, was just astounding to these other people. And he was doing so much input on writing this software, which is the, you know, frontier software of the internet, that they said, well, you know, we have meetings where we actually get together and physically meet and talk these things over. We'd love you to come. You never come to any of the meetings. And he says, well, I don't know if my mom would let me. And they go, what? Your mom? How old are you? You know, they're doing this over email. I mean, he was 13 when he was doing this work. He wasn't old enough to go to the meetings. And they said, we have to meet you. You know, and he ended up going to Washington, D.C., and he was involved in all sorts of things. He made his first million while he was still a teenager. And he was just a whiz. And but he also thought that data collected at government expense should be available free on the internet. In other words, public domain needed to be public. Nobody should copyright public domain so that only they can release it into the public, because with the internet you can make it available to everybody all over the world. Everybody can benefit from this information. You know, research done and reports made. And they should be made public if they're produced with public funds. But somewhere in the link, somebody grabs a hold of that and releases it. I've come across them lots of times in doing research, and they always want, you know, a couple dollars to read some article. And they let you read the first part, but you can't read the rest until you pay them a couple of dollars. And they make millions, billions of dollars. Now, the guys who did the work, copyright was to protect the guys who did the work. But these are just money makers who got their foot in the door. Because they're making so much money, they control people like the Congress, because money talks, and you can't stop them. Well, he was downloading the data legally in MIT in a closet, and accumulating. He had done the same thing in Stanford, and then he analyzed the data and found information. That's why the data is available in scholastic institutions, and they make it so some colleges you get to go and download the data for free. He was downloading it, but he'd write a program that would go in and with, you know, kind of logarithmic approach, figure out things about all this accumulated data that other people wouldn't even think of, and he had ways of writing programs to do it. So he hadn't released any of this. He hadn't posted it again. He hadn't broken the law by violating copyright laws, which are being abused by these companies, because they're not the ones who do the work. They just saw an advantage of taking that they could take and make money in the early days, and now they've got the market cornered. And Congress should just pass a law that these guys are out of business, that they're not providing a real service. They're actually keeping people from helping one another. Aaron had been very prominent in the efforts to make other public documents, such as court cases, available so that anybody could examine these court cases to provide for their own defense, because it had fallen into the hands of companies who made it available to lawyers who will pay a few bucks to see the court cases. And there is reasonability to accessing, want to go down and get a copy of a court case. You need to pay for the printing of that court case if you want a hard copy. But with the internet, that's supposed to be already paid for in public domain. So you know, if somebody's willing to put that court case up for free, you should be able to access it for free. But the companies are keeping people from doing this. Well, anyway, he wrote software that was able to do this, and he really opened up that area. And he's done it with other things, but he did it legally. But they came after him. They grabbed him off his bicycle, and they threw him down on the ground and handcuffed him and threw him into jail and threatened him with lawsuits. And if he would plead guilty, they would pull back their threats. Now, when he shows up in the courtroom, everybody's getting paid by the government but him. If he wants somebody to show up on his side, he has to pay, and they're paying out $1 million in legal fees to protect them against some crime he has not yet really committed, because he didn't really publish the material that he was downloading. And the real criminal is the companies that are taking advantage of the copyright laws, not doing the work, not paying the authors, but gobbling up public domain so that nobody gets access to it without paying them a couple of bucks first. Well, eventually he ends up dead in his apartment, supposedly of suicide. But what else did he do in his life? He stopped SOPA, which was another one of these bills that had like 60% popularity. Actually, it wasn't popularity. It was actually sponsors of the bill, about 60% of Congress. And that would have ended free internet, free access to information. Suddenly, your access to information would be controlled by somebody else, by a government agency, who, you know, the same ones are doing the surveillance on your children and your health, and wanting and working towards mandatory annual mental health evaluations, where you would be forced to take drugs or go to jail. And they don't care if you go to jail, because the prison industry is a huge moneymaker for somebody else. They want more people in jail. I mean, we've already had, time and time again, judges taking millions of dollars in bribes to put children in jail to fill up the beds in juvenile hall, because it's all private industry. Where did they get the money to bribe these judges to send children to jail? They got it from the money that they're making by housing the children, because it's private industry. Prison industry is a moneymaker. Meanwhile, you're going to church and singing to Jesus, because you don't even know what the weightier matters are that Jesus listed off. You think you're saved by what you think in your head. And these people who are surveillancing you and your children think they're right, because they're God's gift to humanity. They're, you know, I got a degree in psychology. You know, I read Jung and Freud. And so I know what's good for you. You know what Jung talks about? Jungian psychology? The shadow aspect of Jungian psychology, however you want to pronounce it, you want to do the J or not. It says that shadow aspect or shadow psychology may refer to an unconscious aspect of the personality which the conscious ego does not identify in itself. It's an unconscious aspect of your thinking, put it down in simple words, that the conscious ego does not identify in itself. That's why you have, I didn't go to my graduation. You know, actually, I went to one graduation. I didn't go to another graduation from the University of Minnesota. I didn't want to go to my high school graduation. I didn't think much of it. Because it's all catering to your ego. And that's what, I mean, they have graduation from, you know, sixth grade now. You know, and pomp and ceremony. Because they're feeding your ego. Your conscious ego. You are smart. You have a degree of knowledge. And now you have a license to kill. to surveil. You know, to compel other people because you're so smart. And they're building an army of people who think they're smart because they have a degree of knowledge. And they're giving them power. You're giving them power because you're not doing what Christ said. You're playing church. You're going to church. You're getting somebody else to go to church with you. You're better off going to the bar than to most churches. At least you'd be a little bit more honest. You're not getting drunk on the opiate of religion, thinking you're saved, thinking you're doing what Christ said. You're not doing what Christ said. You can't. You're not following Christ. Most Christians send their children to public school. That requires that they pray, apply to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. It requires you to do that, to send your children to public school. Your churches should be helping you educate your children at home in your own house. They should be doing that. If they're not doing that, they're not following Christ. If they're saying, send your kids to public education, and most private schools are really some form of public education. They use the same books a lot of the time. And they teach the same lies. They're just a shadow. Again. So let's go back to that. You know, Carl Jung's shadow aspect of psychology. The unconscious aspect of personality which the conscious ego does not identify in itself. When you sinned in the garden, you hid from the light of God. When the cherub was put there with a fiery sword that shined in all directions, you fled the garden. Where did you flee? To the ego. To the conscious ego. And a part of your thinking became unconscious. I don't want to look at that. The Scarlett O'Hara syndrome. I don't want to look at that today. I'll save that for another day. And you flee the truth. And you flee into your religion of rituals and form and songs and the touchy-feely religion, the music religion, the orthodox religion. But you just don't do what Christ said. You don't do what Moses said. You don't do what Abraham said. You don't walk where Abraham walked. Because one tends to reject or remain ignorant of the least desirable aspect of one's personality, the shadow is largely negative. In other words, you don't want to see what's wrong with you. Here I come along, smack you right in the face with it. You depend on a government fire department. You depend upon government social welfare. You depend upon Social Security when you retire. You're being set up. You're being dragged willingly into bondage. Everybody says, the government's getting too much power. Who gave it to them? The Bible is about government. It's about people helping people, loving their neighbor as themselves. Moses said it. Christ said it. That's loving in real ways. Really taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. And the perfect law of liberty. Allowing your neighbor to decide whether or not he wants to help with your child's education. I knew a kid who was going down to the local public school. He was like 13 years old and he could not tell time. Couldn't read or write. Next door neighbor got interested in him. kind of befriended him. The next door neighbor, you know, practiced archery. He liked to do bow hunting, so he had a target set up, and he was shooting a bow. Fascinated the kid. The kid started learning from this guy. He started teaching him. What he knows today about reading and telling time didn't come from school, came from this guy. You know, that this fellow Schwartz, 13 years old, programming with adults, fascinating them with his ability. One of the things he did is did free up some information legally. Never committed a crime. And saw that there was legal crime going on of keeping information from the people. In the video, they show another kid who devised a way, came to a conclusion from reading stuff that he had access to because of men like Schwartz, Aaron Schwartz. He had access to experiments that other people had done before, and he came to a conclusion that there's a way to detect early stages of pancreatic cancer. Wrote all kinds of medical people saying that he had this idea and everything. One wrote him back and said, you know, this makes sense. I want to meet with you. By the time the boy was 14 years old, they figured out a way, thanks to his perception. 14 years old. Public school destroys that. Greed destroys that ability to come up. You know, color TV. The original color TV was ridiculous. It was bleeding all over the place with different colors. And I mean, you can never get it right. I mean, it was just horrible. It was a joke. Nobody wanted it. Until somebody invented a little tiny piece of mechanism to go inside of a tube TV that divided the colors and made color TV actually watchable. 14-year-old boy in his garage invented it. And then Wells Fargo stole his money that he made from that invention. But he's still around. Still around. His name is Steve Allen. I'd like to talk to Steve again. I've communicated with him. I've kind of lost touch with him. This is why you need a network. The geniuses are out there everywhere. And you have a school system to destroy those geniuses. You have a greedy shadow system of government. You call the government. With shadow people in it. Whose egos are fed. They have their religion. They have their Bible. It's the rule book. Oh, we have to do it this way. We can't do that because the rule book, anything outside the rule. I mean, I could tell you a story that's been ongoing now. It's just ridiculous. You know, just absolutely insane. The bureaucracy. These bureaucracies are filled with zombies. They don't do any thinking. Occasionally, we actually came across one who actually saw something, and they actually chuckled at it. They realized, this is crazy. But you know what? They're in the midst of the bureaucracy, and they're homeschooler. They're homeschooling their children. But they have a job in the bureaucracy. That's the thing. Where is the separation between shadow and light? And I tell you, it's gathering together. In free will assemblies, desiring to take care of one another by faith, hope, and charity. You've gone so far from that, you can't get out of the system. You have to spend the days ahead, every day ahead, 6 days a week ahead, getting the system out of you. The only way to do that is to replace it with the light, the truth. The truth shall set you free. The truth is, you've gone the wrong way. For 100 years in America, for 100 years in the world, we've been going the wrong way. We have to turn around. We have to go the other way. the entirety of the unconscious mind, everything of which persons is not fully conscious, is actually running the show. That makes you a zombie. Zombies are not conscious. Their conscious mind is gone. Only the unconscious reaction, programmable reaction, is in place. You know, a lot of people, you know, the rise of homosexuality, and you know, some of the people I know who are big in woe is me, and it's a mental disorder. At least according to my surveillance, it's a mental disorder. Woe is me. You know, my son is gay, my daughter is a lesbian. What am I going to do? How did this come about? Oh, they're just born that way. There have been 8 major studies in Australia, in the U.S., Scandinavia, during the last 2 decades. 8 major studies of identical twins and the existence of homosexuality amongst them. Because if homosexuality is genetic, then both twins, when one becomes homosexual, the other should become homosexual, right? Genetically, they are identical. But it doesn't work that way. Only about 11% of the time. And it's usually because of the trauma occurred to both twins. But if the trauma occurs to one twin only, or they react to, you know, a traumatic event in their own life, you know, the introduction to porn or at an early age or whatever, and, you know, what people tell them, oh, well, you're probably gay. I am? That kind of thing. And they confuse people. And 90% of the time this happens in public education. You know, I mean, the number of gay coming out of the public school, local public school, country public school is amazing. Where's this all coming from? It's coming from the spirit of the people that are traumatizing your children, paid to do it by your tax dollars, and the tax dollars of your children in the future, because they're all operating in debt. You curse your children because of your covetous practices. Paul, Peter, Christ warned you of this. We'll talk more next time on Keys of the Kingdom, and until then, peace upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about the shadow. The shadow of the mind, the shadow in which evil lurks, the shadow in which you can be controlled. We're talking about zombies, and in the modern day world that are real, that are actually eating out your substance, biting you, taking a bite out of you. It tells you in the Bible, beware that you do not bite one another, lest ye be devoured. And of course, you see all the zombie movies out of zombies going around and biting one another. And you have to be careful that you don't bring somebody into your camp that's been bitten by a zombie, because then he may become a zombie, and then he will start biting you, and then everybody in your camp will soon be contaminated. You'll all be biting one another. It's a movie, but it's real. It's really happening today. It's happened all over the United States. It's happened all over the world. People are biting one another, devouring one another. Where does that spirit of zombieism come from? It comes from coveting your neighbor. Coveting practices. Through coveting practices, you curse your children. We just talked about the debt that all your children are in because you decided to send them to public school. That's called tutor in ancient Roman law, where you get the word tutorial. But it's paid for by government coffers, treasuries, Corbin, the sacrifice of the people. Your children learn from these free gifts that aren't free. There are strings attached. Through that welfare, you are snared and trapped in a system, and your children are snared and trapped in a system where they must pay back the debt that they have created by borrowing from the future, which is not keeping the Sabbath. Originally, in the beginning of the show, I said people aren't keeping the Sabbath. And of course, everybody thinks, oh, the Sabbath, that's about the day. That's about taking the seventh day and resting. No, it's about working 6 days so that you can rest on the seventh day. That's how you keep it holy. You work 6 days. They miss that. It's right there in the text. He worked 6 days so that he could take a day of rest. You borrow against the next 6 days so you can rest today. You do that everywhere. That's the spirit that you're living by. That's the way in which you're operating. And now you're in debt. And now you're in bondage. You want to throw off the tyrants. You're the tyrant. You're the one. And your parents are the ones who forced your neighbors to send you to public education. I mean, pay for your going to public education. You forced your neighbors to pay for that education. That brainwashing. The mere act of sending your kids to public education is a zombie act. Because you have to turn off the shadow that we talked about in the last program. Carl Jung's The Shadow Aspect, where he says it may refer to an unconscious aspect of the personality which the conscious ego does not identify in itself, because one tends to reject or remain ignorant, chooses to remain ignorant of the least desirable aspect of one's personality, the shadow is largely negative. People want to remain ignorant of the fact that to send your children to public education is a covetous practice. You desire that your neighbor pay out the $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 required to educate your children in school today. But tomorrow your children will be in bondage to pay back that debt, which is ever growing. It's an age-old Babylonian trick. And because you're not Sabbath keepers, and that goes for all you Seventh-day Adventists, you're not Sabbath keepers, if you're in debt, and if you use public benefits, you're in debt, because all public benefits are provided, including Social Security, are provided by debt. You're not a Sabbath keeper. You just go to the Seventh-day Adventist Church to fool yourselves, to drug yourselves, to help that, you ask that religion, help keep the shadow of my personality a secret from my conscious mind. Give me rituals to perform. I don't want to pick on Seventh-day Adventists. I'm sure there are all kinds of Sabbath keepers out there. You know, your Messianic Jews, your Jews, even, who think they're Sabbath keepers. Lunar calendar, solar calendar, doesn't make any difference. Counting seven from the moon, doesn't make any difference. All delusion. All delusion to keep you in the shadow. Sabbath is easy. Work, earn your rest. Work, earn your benefit. Invest in today your time and energy so that tomorrow you may be at rest. That's the way it works. That's it. That's it. You don't need any of the other things. You don't need robes. You don't need calendars. You don't need rituals. If you think you do, you're under a delusion. You're living in the shadow. And you use your religion to make you feel comfortable in the shadow. I'm telling you the truth. The unconscious aspect of your personality, which is your covetous practices, which the conscious ego does not want to see and identify, and that you want to reject or remain ignorant of, is the least desirable of one's personality and is negative. The second thing, you know, they have two things that may refer to the shadow aspect, may also refer to the entirety of the unconscious. Everything of which a person is not fully conscious. Now I'm telling you the truth. Make straight the way of the Lord. Start providing for yourself by working today. And not borrowing against the future. Certainly not borrowing for your children. Helping your neighbor so that they don't have to send their children to public education. Creating a network of benefits where you actually physically show and demonstrate love for one another. That's what the network is about. That's why everybody should be joining the network. Jung goes on to say that there are positive aspects, which may also remain hidden in one's shadow, especially in people with low self-esteem. At least that's the way they think is going on. Contrary to Freudian definition of the shadow, therefore, the Jungian shadow can include everything outside of the light of consciousness. They actually use that phrase, the light of consciousness. And may be positive or negative. Those are relative terms. He says, you know, he writes, Jung wrote, everyone carries a shadow. And the less it is embodied in the individual's conscious life, the blacker and denser it is. You see, you can't see the zombie virus that comes with those covetous practices. You bite out of your neighbor, you become. And they can become. If they resent your bite, they can become zombies too. And somebody on one of our networks is inviting everybody to the Ozark Plateau. Because it's one of the few places, and it's a beautiful place. You know, I mean, the country and the climate and the central location and the woods and the springs and the artesian waters and all that stuff. Of course, it's in the Madrid Fault area. But he says, this is the where we have to go to survive. Why aren't you publishing this on throughout your network so that everybody comes here? Because this is where you need to be. And he's publishing this on the internet. Zombies can read. Zombies are the first survivalists. They don't want to serve one another. They want, except, you know, like the old Outer Limits, you know, to serve man, it's a cookbook. They want to eat you. They want to survive. They're The reason the zombies are biting people is so that they will survive the virus, whatever you want to call it in the movies. It's so that they will survive. It's about their egos surviving. And they will bite you. And he's inviting zombies to his hideout. You're crazy. That's why we create the network. The network has a built-in filter. Filters out zombies. Now, the network, the living network, is actually congregations of record where people are giving weekly, daily, should be giving daily, time, energy, even money, if that's what they want to give, out of love for one another. When you start doing that, you start being drawn near the light. Remember, the word sacrifice in the Hebrew is from the word to draw near. You see, when you're selfish, you're drawn near the dark, the shadow, like he says. Even Jung says, the blacker it becomes. Everyone carries a shadow. And the less it is embodied in the individual conscious life, the blacker and denser it is. What is the shadow? Your covetous practices. That is one of the key things. And that's why John the Baptist talks about it. When they ask him about his baptism, he says, this is it. This is the basic. You know, he didn't say believe in Jesus. He said, if your neighbor has no coat and you have an extra, share. Do the same in meats. Take care of one another. Love one another. This is what Jesus was saying. This is the gospel. Do this in as organized a fashion from the ground up, not from the top down. Your leaders are servants to show you how to serve. And you come to church to serve. If you come to church to be served, they will slice you and dice you and serve you on a platter, like John the Baptist's head. Why do you think they put it on a platter? Because he was preaching against their covetous practices. He was a voice in the wilderness saying, make straight the way of the Lord. What is that? The way of faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. You're not doing that. You're going to church to feel good, to imagine that your ego, your conscious ego, is saved, while the unconscious aspects of your personality are coveting your neighbor's goods by sending your children to public school, depending upon government paid for fire departments, police departments, everything, which gives more and more power to those people who we talked about who are out there desiring mandatory annual mental health evaluations, because you actually think that loving your neighbor as yourself means to actually help your neighbor in real ways so they don't have to go to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. They think you're mentally ill. They think that your desire to love your neighbor is oppositional defiant disorder. This is why Christians were burned alive in North Africa by the Emperor Saturninus, because they would not sign up for the covetous practices systems of social welfare run through the government temples, religious temples of Rome, which you today would call Social Security, welfare, CDC. These are the temples of Rome. They are operated and funded by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. And Jesus said you are not to be that way, but the modern church says, yeah, go ahead and do that. Even though, in reality, every time you take a benefit, every time you take a benefit, you not only take a bite out of your neighbor, But you take a bite out of your neighbor's children who are in debt every day more and more and will have to pay this back. You are not keeping the Sabbath. You are not keeping God as the only God before you. You are making other men gods through your covetous and covenanting processes. You are covenanting. You are making contracts by your application. And I tell you, if you understand what I'm talking about, there must be divine intervention of the Holy Spirit, because a zombie can't understand what I'm talking about. They think I'm crazy. They think that the idea of creating a society, operating by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, by taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, everybody in the network should belong to a congregation of recorded elders, what we call CORE. And everybody in that network should devote 10% of their energy every week to all the CORES. Not just to their own CORE, to every CORE group, every congregation of record. And anybody who joins the email network on the Google Groups and doesn't seek to belong to a congregation of record, and I say belong to, they don't really belong to, you know, participate with a congregation of record. We could have called it congregation of testimony, a congregation of love, but it didn't make a word like CORE. You know, if it was a congregation of testimony, it would be COT. It was congregation of witness, which is your witness to your love for one another, you'd be called cows. So, but if we call it congregation of recorded elders, then we can call it a CORE group. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what you call it. I mean, like you call a Sabbath the Sabbath. It isn't the Sabbath unless you've worked 6 days to have what you have. But you don't have what you have because you worked 6 days. You have what you have because you borrowed against the future. You've been out there trying to save yourself, make yourself comfortable, get your own religion that will drug you. You've gone from, you know, whether it's marijuana or methamphetamines or, you know, I don't know the drugs. I'm a bad one for remembering all the different drugs that you could take, whatever it is, heroin. You've gone from that to religion. Or politics, which is just another form of religion. You know, you're going to get active in politics. I thought about that once, getting active in politics. But that's not the problem. The problem is that shadow in your mind. The unconscious aspects of your personality, which says it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods because that's the way we do things. In the world today, in zombie land, we take from our neighbor so that we can have public education. We take from our neighbor so that we can have Social Security. We take from our neighbor so that we can have health care. And the people who are running your health care are setting up surveillance for mental illness. You know what mental illness is? You know, always it was funny in some of the movies that, was it Zombie Land? Whichever one was Bill Murray showed up in suddenly, just out of nowhere. And he's dressed up like a zombie. And he goes out dressed up like a zombie and moving like a zombie so that, because he likes to get out and mingle with the other zombies. We have to do that. If we want to go out amongst other people, we have to look like them. We don't want them to know that we're awake. And that we understand that they're all taking a bite out of one another and eating and devouring one another. We don't want them to know that, because if we admit that and say, well, we don't bite out of one another, they will attack us and try to contaminate us with their zombie virus. You know, and even Shaun of the Dead, they imitate the zombie so they can walk through this public square, and because as soon as the zombies realize you're not a zombie, you're on the menu. They want to eat you. They want to bite you. That's why Christians got burned. They weren't zombies. They weren't Roman zombies. They weren't praying to men to call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. This is the dividing line between Christianity. At least one. There's at least 10. Thou shalt not kill. You know, the whole rundown. But thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's, or including thy neighbor's wife. And the feminist revolution has made every wife belong to the state. She's not exempt. She can be taken off the street and put to work. She's a member of the religion of the state. You know, if we go back to that quote, Lou Rockwell, which is actually just a quote from somebody else. It's paraphrased from somebody else. But what was that quote? What we need is a comprehensive ideology of liberty to displace the comprehensive ideology of statism with no compromises. Okay, let's interpret that. Who had the ideology of liberty? A comprehensive ideology of liberty. John the Baptist! Your neighbor has... How does the state get power? You apply to it for benefits. What should have been for your welfare from them is actually a snare. I mean, you go read the books have been around for years that tell you how this works. I was trying to think of one of the books. I'm so bad at names, but anyway, I know what it is. Animal Farm. There we go. Animal Farm. Well, I mean, you put out corn. I mean, we see the joke. You put out corn, the pig comes in, eats the corn. Every day you just put out that free corn, and then you slam the gate. And he's now a domestic pig. You're a domestic sheep. They brought you in, and they've cultivated you. But the ideology of liberty is that you start taking care of yourself. You don't eat the free corn. You work and produce your own corn. But in order to do this successfully in zombie land, you have to care. You have to be able to cure zombies. How do you cure a zombie? You bless them. And, you know, well, I'm not going to go into the details of that. But you think about what were the Essenes doing? They took care of all their social welfare needs. They did not need to go and take the benefits of Herod and the benefits of the Pharisees or the benefits of Rome. They didn't even want to travel on Roman roads. They traveled, it says, the ancient paths, which is actually a metaphor for the ways of the ancients, which was they took care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, through free will offerings of sacrifice. I mean, like I say, I've said it many times, you won't find the word charity anywhere in the Old Testament, but you find the word sacrifice. You find the word charity all over the New Testament. Now, the fact is, we also find in the New Testament that Moses and Jesus Christ are in agreement. So there isn't a vengeful God of the Old Testament and a blessing, loving God of the New Testament. It's the same God yesterday as it was today and tomorrow. Your interpretation of the Old Testament is in error. You do error. Jesus was pointing this out to the Pharisees. You do error. You erred about Sabbath. You think the Sabbath is a day. Sabbath is a way. Covetousness is a way. Non-covetousness is another way. One is the way of Christ and one is the way of statism. The covetous system will make you merchandise. You will belong to the state. That's why I was correcting myself. You don't really belong to a congregation. You gather together in free assemblies. You don't belong to the church. You're free assemblies. Now, we have ID that we travel around with. And it works for those of us who God spares. You know, we get on planes with that idea. It's not state issued. It's church issued. So what's the big deal? Well, should we do that for everybody in the congregation? Well, how do you get in a congregation? You just show up? You know, besides, you should be able to produce your own. You're the government. We're not the government. We're the servants of government. The government is the government of the people, for the people, by the people. You remember that phrase that comes from Abraham Lincoln? This is the government of the people, for the people, by the people kind of thing. He got that out of the Wycliffe Bible, written hundreds of years before. It's in the introduction to the Wycliffe Bible. This book was written for the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. But you're not that. You're lost in religion. Wake up. We'll talk more about the solution when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. So anyway, we're talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And His righteousness is that you need to come together to serve one another, to lay down your life so that you have life more abundant. If you get together to try to justify the shadow of the fact that you are actually coveting your neighbor's goods and wanting men who exercise authority to take away from your neighbor so that you can have more benefits, then you are going contrary to the ways of God and you will be drawn farther away from it into tyranny. And when those tyrannical zombies want to force you to be like them, they will have every reason and every power to do so. And you will not have, how many times in the Bible does it say, go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen for yourself? Those gods are the ones that you have cried to for benefits. And you cried for them for benefits so that they would take care of you and provide for you and be your salvation in this world. And in the next world, you will go to a place that does that, that takes a bite out of one another, that devours one another, that eats and feeds on one another. Where do you think that is? That's not the kingdom of God. You all have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. You will only have an inheritance in that place, spiritually. You see, everything in the spiritual realm existed prior to the physical realm. The physical realm was created by the spiritual. The spirit moved upon the waters, moved upon substance, and the physical realm came into being. You have fallen into the physical realm because you did not want to see the shadow of your own sin. This is what the whole story of original sin is about. It's not about a tree. It's not about an apple. It's not about a snake. Although these are the symbols telling you what's going on. The tree of knowledge is your vanity, your ego, trying to decide good and evil on your own, taking your brain, which is your tree of knowledge, and deciding good and evil on your own. That's what you're doing. That's what you're seeking to do, and that's the shadow aspect. Because you have denied the tree of life, and you've decided to eat of the tree of your own egotistical knowledge. That's why diplomas are so important. That's why they want to give you rewards in school. You know, a star. Make you feel proud. Give you self-esteem. But it isn't your esteem. It's the esteem they gave you. If they can make you happy, they can make you feel proud, then they can threaten to take that pride away from you and humiliate you. Now they have a hook in you. They have control. They will control the shadow being of yourself. And this is, you know, like we were talking about this study done for in 8 different studies, actually, not just one. Identical twins studied prove homosexuality is not genetic. It cannot be genetic by the evidence of the study. And of the 8 different studies in Scandinavia and Australia and the United States, and some of these are very liberal countries, but the study doesn't lie. It's not genetic. Gays are not born. You're not born that way. You're made that way. How do they make you that way? They manipulate the shadow being of yourself. That's what they're doing. They're manipulating that shadow nature. And it's not hard to do. If I wanted to be a cult leader, it's pretty easy to do. But I have to give up my conscience. I have to stop eating of the tree of life and start eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and use that knowledge against you. It would be very easy. So many of you are very susceptible. I mean, I run into people all the time that are cult leaders' dreams. Almost everybody who believes that there is a political solution is a cult leader's dream. That's what they're looking for. They love that. That you think there's a political solution. The solution is in you. And when you start following that true solution of righteousness, guess what happens? Guess what starts happening? You start being drawn towards the light. And as you're drawn towards the light, you begin to understand the truth. And then you will start to becoming free. But you have to continue in the practices of Christ's righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why? Because it will draw you near the truth and the way and the light. Now, if you continue with your covetous practices, it will draw you near the shadow. And the shadow will be able to manipulate you more. And this is where you actually can come and become possessed. Whole societies can become possessed and devour one another, kill one another. That's where you get your Holocaust from. And, of course, in the Holocaust, they didn't just go after Jews, which, see, Jews, they needed a scapegoat. They needed somebody for you to hate. So that was an important thing, that you would hate somebody. And we see the same thing going on now. Hate the Muslims. Hate ISIS. Hate ISIL. We got to hate them. There's somebody on my Facebook who's always, you know, something in a post that I just saw zooming by during the break. God blast Israel. He hates Israel because he's very pro-Palestinian. And I understand. You know, he's got a picture of a really cute little Palestinian girl. I guess she's Palestinian or something like this. And there's cute girls on both sides. It isn't about Israel. It's not about ISIS. It's not about Muslims. It's not about Jews. It's about righteousness or unrighteousness. But see, when you want to identify with, you know, an organization, then you're not identifying with righteousness. It didn't say seek, you know, the kingdom of God and my religion. It says seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There isn't such a thing as Muslim terrorists. There are terrorists. There are evil people. If they're a Muslim, they're a Muslim, whatever that means. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, the Muslims are killing each other. The Christians are killing each other. You know, they're Christian bank robbers. And there are Muslim bank robbers. Those are all, you know, that's like, you know, people wear clothes. They put that on. That's just to help them feel good about their shadow. The part of their aspect of their life they don't want to see. And the more religious they are, by today's standards of religion, the more they will carry those characteristics into their life, and it will form their lifestyle and the aspects of their life. Now, I'll have to do more of the next show later this afternoon, which you all know about if you're a part of the network, and get into some of the aspects of how to free yourself from this. But basically, it's exactly what John the Baptist said. Start taking what you produce that's extra and sharing it with others in a way of righteousness. Now, you don't want to be weakening the poor. You want to be strengthening it. In order to do this, you need to organize yourselves. If you do not organize yourselves, some surveillance group, which we talked about earlier, will come along, collect the data, which they already are doing, surveillance data from multiple federal agencies, including the CDC, Health Resources Services Administration, and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administrations, and others. They're accumulating all this data from the driver's license database, everything. And they're creating a dossier on you to figure out if you got ODD, oppositional defiance disorder. You cannot beat these guys. There are too many zombies. You need the song of the Lamb, the song of Moses, and the song of the Lamb. Why both songs? Because they harmonize. What is some of the common things that we see? Love thy neighbor as thyself. There's one. Is it love to covet your neighbor's goods, to force your neighbor and your neighbor's children and grandchildren to pay for what you want today? Because you don't want to work for the education of your children, you want to get it for free today? So you force your neighbor through men who exercise authority to pay for your children's education today? Homeschool, home health, home social welfare. I tell you, when you really get involved in that, now you will start to see miracles. But I'm just telling you. I don't want you to believe because I tell you. I want you to believe because something in your heart says, I don't want to take a bite out of my neighbor anymore. I don't want to devour my neighbor anymore. I want to go the ways of Christ. I want to stop, you know, this guy who shakes his fist at Israel. You know, there are very few Israelis sneaking over the border to go work for Arabs and then sneaking back at night, you know, so that they can take care of their families, because the only place they get a good job is over on the Arab side. But there are lots of Arabs that are sneaking over and working for the Israelis and then go back and work, you know, to take care of their family. But they can get good jobs, good paying jobs, with people who treat them fairly on the Israeli side. But if the people back on the Arab side find out, somebody will kill them. Now, is everybody on the Arab side like that? No. But that exists on the Arab side because people got their religion that's preoccupying. They're not interested in righteousness. They're interested in their religion. Now, you'll find the same thing on both sides. But I'm not pro-Israel. I'm pro-righteousness. The Israeli government does all kinds, and they have a lot of Israelis, people who are citizens of that government, protesting the injustices that they do. You do that over on the Arab side, and you're likely to get your throat slit. So, but it's not a question of them or us. It's a question of righteousness. So what is righteous? What is good? And what I see a lot of times is there's been a few righteous people here and there. There's so few, and they're scattered, and they're way apart from each other. And I don't want them coming all together in one place like the Ozarks, especially with guys out there inviting every zombie you can get on the internet to come there as their survival headquarters. I'll have millions and millions of survivalist zombies out there trying to kill each other. I don't want them all coming here. I want them to go to the Living Network and start caring for one another. And then God will show you where to be when. I can tell you this, that if you're not moving according to the Holy Spirit, if you're stepping 5 feet over to the right or to the left of the path that God wants you to be on, you're liable to get killed. I mean, he literally, you know, like you see in the movie where the guy moves real fast and all these guys start shooting and he's running around, you know, as if time is standing still, and he's moving all the bullets out of the way and moving the hand over here so this guy punches his head. And God's angels do that all the time. Miraculously, people are saved all the time if you're seeking the kingdom of God. He will tell you, you won't even see the car coming. He'll make your foot step on the brake. Just slam on the brake. send everybody lunging forward in the cart, but you just saved everybody's life. And you didn't even see what was coming. I mean, you just, all of a sudden you decide to move over here and something crashes right where you should have, would have been, because something moved you over. You know, he points out, he says, those people are stalking you. Thousands of people on the street, and he says, those two there. Look at those two. Notice them. Okay? They're stalking you. And he shows you this. That's the way the kingdom of God works. It's everywhere, is the kingdom of God. It has to do with what you're spiritually connected to. If you hate the system, you will be drawn into the system, because hate is a form of worship used in hell all the time. Love, righteousness, love, sacrifice, love, forgiveness. Pay attention to those things. Gathering together in a congregation today, everybody is going to step on your toes. Barefoot or not, they're going to step on your toes. Because nobody knows how to dance the dance of liberty. Nobody knows how to do that. We are so awkward on the dance floor of life that we don't know how to dance together as a free people. If you were given freedom today, you wouldn't know what to do with it. You would immediately go into another form of bondage. You need to do what Christ actually says. You need to sacrifice daily. You need to forgive daily. Trying to form a congregation of record, you will have ample opportunity for forgiveness. People will be slothful and you'll have to forgive them. They will let you down time and time again. They will put things off. They will forget to do things. They will be selfish to themselves. They won't give as much as they should give. Oh, wonderful opportunities for forgiveness and patience and the practice of patience. I mean, you've done the covetous practices for years. Now, I never went to public school, but everybody I know went to public school. And your parents taught you that way from the beginning. And now you have no resource. You know, you're 65 years old. You have no resource but to go on Social Security. I'm not going. I'm going to depend on you guys. I'm going to depend on other people helping me out when I'm too old to work. You know, I was pointing out to one of our ministers, we were working, digging a hole, laying these huge blocks of cement to try to anchor down our mobile office. It's no longer mobile. We're going to make it unmobile because it actually flew about 50 feet through the air during one of our 100-mile-an-hour windstorms. It's still in pretty good shape, but we're going to anchor it down, and we were working to do that, And he says, where were you stiff yesterday when we lifted up this old building and turned it over? And I says, you know, you get to my age, you're stiff every day, whether you work or not. But I says, you know, yeah, he says, I don't want to be doing this kind of manual work the rest of my life. And I says, well, I've been doing it all my life. And Levites are supposed to retire from physical labor at 55. And he goes, what? I says, in the Bible. 55. A Levite's not supposed to be having to do physical labor anymore. Well, I'm well over a decade overdue for that retirement. And why? Because you guys are not Sabbath keepers. And I haven't always been a Sabbath keeper. But I'm in debt to no man. Can you say the same? Oh, you can shake your fist at the debt. You can shake your fist at the injustices of the world. But are you willing to see the shadow of your own injustices? I tell you, there's a spiritual awakening coming in. You're not going to get on this radio. In the Living Network, we can bring it to you. You bring the light in. I just thought it was just amazing in the article about Freud and Jung that he talks about everything outside the light of consciousness. And see, so I have to tell you the truth. I have to tell you that you are not following the ways of John the Baptist, of Jesus Christ, of Moses, of Abraham, so that you repent, turn around, and start following the ways of Abraham, Moses, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jesus Christ. Start taking care of one another out of love. I have to tell you to do that so that we bring, that we can bring the light of consciousness to those shadow areas of your life. The psychologists knew everyone carries a shadow. And the less it is embodied in the individual's conscious life, that light of consciousness, the blacker and denser it comes. And then, evil can actually operate in there and influence you heavily. But, you know, if you bring the light to an evil man, if you shine that light out and you can't do it, you don't have the power. This is something, this is a gift from God. The biggest, brutish, meanest guy will grovel, will seek to bow down, and even serve your needs. And he can't do anything about it. I mean, this is real. This is powerful. But if you had a whole nation of people, fire would come down from heaven and stand between you and the evil. And you wouldn't have to live in the Ozark Plateau. You could live anywhere. And you would be protected. Because you have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. But if you're not going to live according to the ways of righteousness, if you're not going to live by, like Christ came in sacrifice, then you will have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. And you will cry out in that day, and no one will come to your aid. You have to repent. You have to turn around. You have to go the other way, the way of righteousness, the way of giving and forgiving. Jung writes, the project-making factor, the shadow archetype, then has a free hand and can realize its object if it has won or bring about some other situation characteristic of its power. What's he talking about there? The shadow, in being instinctive and irrational, is prone to psychological projection in which a perceived personal inferiority is recognized as a perceived moral deficiency in someone else. In other words, if you don't join their system, and if you go and you look up Christian conflict on our Preparing You site, you can read an article that will explain this, the Christian conflict. They believe that they perceived a moral deficiency in someone else. And this is why they are surveilling your children in school. Every time you go to the doctor and fill out one of those forms. All these agencies, CDC, everybody, are accumulating that information. And they are going to project in you a moral deficiency. And they are going to call good evil and evil good. And the only power that will protect you is the power of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Turn around. Gather together. Love one another. Till then, peace upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.